The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, July 29th, 2016.
Once before, I shared with you the frightening tale of the Golem of Prague, here recounted by the Yiddish author Yud Lamed Peretz. There was a time, a terrible time, when the ghetto of Prague was under assault, for the Jews had received word that their women were about to be raped, their children about to be burned alive, and their men about to be slaughtered. Just when the situation seemed beyond hope and the end imminent, the great Maharal of Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Lowe, set aside his studies of the Gemara and went out into the street. He went up to a large pile of clay, took it into his hands, and fashioned the image of a man. The rabbi breathed into the nostrils of the golem, and the thing began to move. Then he whispered into its ear the name of the Holy One, and the golem rose up. The rabbi turned to go back into the house of prayer, and the golem turned to leave the ghetto. Once outside the ghetto, the golem fell upon our enemies and attacked them without mercy. Soon Prague was littered with bodies. It is said that the golem's attack went on for days. When Friday came and the clock struck 12, the golem was still hard at his bloody work. The head of the ghetto went to the rabbi and cried, "Rabbi, the golem is slaughtering all of Prague. If this goes on, there will be not a single soul left." Hearing this outcry, the Maharal left his studies once more. He approached the altar and there offered up the psalm called the Song of the Sabbath Day. As soon as the words of the psalm came from the rabbi's lips, the golem ceased its killing and returned to the ghetto. Once in the ghetto, it went to the house of prayer and walked up to the rabbi, where it stood motionless. The rabbi whispered into the golem's ear, and its eyes closed shut. Thus the soul that the rabbi had breathed into it fled, and the golem once again became a mere heap of clay. The mystical tale of the Golem of Prague is a tale of self-defense turned fanaticism. I was reminded of the story by the events with which our parasha Pinchas begins. In the wilderness at Shittim, Israelite men enter into forbidden relationships with Moabite women and worship their god. Adonai commands that the ringleaders be put to death and punishes Israel with a plague. When, in a brazen act of defiance, one Israelite parades before Moses with a Midianite woman, Aaron's grandson, Pinchas, impales them both with his spear. The plague is halted, and God rewards Pinchas with a brit shalom, literally a covenant of peace, signifying God's favor, and promises Pinchas's descendants a perpetual claim to the priesthood. Though the Bible presents Pinchas in an heroic light, subsequent commentaries are mixed in their evaluation of his religious fervor. Nachama Leibovich remarks that in his zeal for God, he slew a man on the spur of the moment without trial or offering previous warning, without legal testimony being heard, and in defiance of all the procedures of judicial examination prescribed by the Torah. His deed of summary justice, taking the law into his own hands, therefore constituted a dangerous precedent. One Talmudic sage believed that Moses and the elders actually sought to excommunicate Pinchas for his fanaticism. And a concern with zealotry runs through commentaries on this week's Haftarah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah infuriated by Israel's apostasy, professes his zeal for God. According to the Midrash, he would rather Israel be destroyed than be forgiven. Elijah is soon stripped of his prophetic mantle. The rabbis knew all too well the dangers of fanaticism. They record how the zealots of first century Judea, who according to Josephus took their name Kanaim from the story of their hero Pinchas, precipitated the destruction of Jerusalem. The zealots believed that faith in God demanded a fight against Rome even to the death. One faction, evidently fearing that the moderates who sought peace with Rome might win the hearts of the people, burned the Jerusalemites' food supplies to foster a desperation they hoped would spur open revolt. In the end, their actions caused their own people terrible suffering. So while for some commentators Pinchas may stand as a symbol of fervent devotion to God, for others, his brand of zealotry threatens peace and stability. We live in a world plagued by fanaticism. We witness it almost daily abroad and with increasing frequency here at home by ISIS radicals and by homegrown vigilantes acting out their own perverted sense of justice, assassinating police officers. We face real dangers. But our tradition suggests, through such lessons as these on Pinchas, Elijah, and the Golem, that zealotry, the stoking of fear, must not be our response. In the end, the Golem cannot distinguish between those who pose the true threat and those who do not. Fear, zealotry, inhibit such discernment. To the hammer, everything looks like a nail. Our response to the bloodshed and intolerance and terror of our time can only be to hold fast to the teachings of our faith, to affirm what we learn from Pirkei Avot, that the cornerstones of justice, truth, and peace, even when shaken, remain the only possible foundations for the world we yearn to build.